This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Brian Koberger has an alibi. Well, supposedly he has an alibi. They gave an alibi a couple months ago. He likes to go for drives at night. See, he didn't do it. Okay, we need something better than that. Anne, can you come up with something better than that, please? Okay, he likes to go for drives at night and look at the stars and moon. This is what we got. This is literally what you're submitting to us right now. That's what happened. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Were you expecting anything more?
I wasn't expecting anything more, but I was wondering, did they somehow convince somebody to say that they saw him someplace else? I actually really wondered if something like that could be concocted. Instead, they've decided to use a cell phone expert. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting since the phone was off during the 2 hours. I don't know what this expert is going to say, but I trust the cast guys.
Yeah, I don't really quite understand how they're going to have any sort of evidence when the phone is off to say where he was in his star and moon gazing, taking pictures mission. Especially too, when the PCA already talked about triangulation of the cell phone being in the area of the house, not somewhere else, at least leading up to the phone going off. That's going to be, I think, a very bizarre challenge. And maybe the goal is simply to confuse the jury of one expert over here saying this about the cell phone data and the other one over here saying that. I don't know, one's collecting a check as an expert witness, the other is just an investigator.
Right. And if you saw, and which I know you did, the trial in South Carolina of Murdaugh.
Yeah.
Wow. That supervisor, that FBI supervisor, who's basically, since he was what we call a baby agent, a new agent, coming on board, his whole journey has really been in cellular digital analysis. Mm-hmm. And that's all he's done. And he's the best of the best. I would believe, I know the FBI handled it, and I would believe that's who we're going to see on the stand again. And wow, anybody who had any concerns about the digital information in Murdaugh, he was just amazing. And I'm hoping that's who we see again, because nobody's credentialed like him.
Yeah. I don't know how Ann Taylor's even calling this an alibi. It doesn't make any sense at all that, okay, we're going to bring this up. I mean, I don't know what there is. They say there's pictures on the cell phone. Okay, well, are those pictures like time stamped to the exact time of the murder somewhere else? If they are, I would think we'd have already heard of that by now to have, you know, some sort of, you know, alibi where there could be some sort of exoneration if we have some solid evidence, but we still don't. We have no single human being that's saying, yeah, we know where he was at the time of this crime other than Koberger. I like to drive at night and look at the stars.
Yeah, you know what this also sets up, which is kind of interesting. Will Brian Koberger take the stand? Because I don't know how you back up this alibi unless he does, unless he talks about his night. So I find it very interesting that they're almost moving in that direction. And just with, I believe, the narcissism that we've seen from Brian Koberger, even if it's just trying to get out of a traffic ticket.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to be the type, kind of the Bundy type. I know everybody's going to get upset with me comparing those two, but you know, where he wants to take control and that we see him maybe take the stand. Look, Alec Murdaugh took the stand.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a very interesting thing to see him take the stand, because he has such a likable personality. and this totally, I mean, the alibi almost plays into the narrative of him being a bizarre, creepy guy. Like, I like to go drive around at night by myself. But I do wonder if there's a longer game here I play with Ann Taylor, thinking, okay, we're going to use this as the alibi defense. Yes, he's a weird guy. No, he doesn't have any friends. He's had a very hard time making friends his entire life because he's bizarre or he has some sort of personality disorder, whatever. But it necessarily doesn't make him a murderer. Just kind of a weird, strange, creepy guy. He's that. but he's not a murderer. And I'm wondering if that's what they're going to try and hang their hat on because they really don't have anything else.
5.37 octillion chance that his DNA is on the sheath. That's the linchpin in this case. And the prosecution is going to need to stay, to me, very focused on that point. Still, with any digital evidence, how are they going to get over the videos where we see the car racing down the road and all this other video evidence? And then I still hang my hat on what Cast is going to say, that they've already put in an affidavit and they're just going to bolster that. Also, I think it's going to come out that he purchased the K-Bar knife through Amazon. And I just think the case is extremely strong and this alibi is ridiculous. And actually, Tony, alibi doesn't even help to me because it shows that they believe in all this other evidence that they've put forth that he's was there 12 different times in those early morning hours. They're supporting that.
I guess why even put an alibi out there? I mean, you don't have to. They could have just said, we're not doing an alibi defense. I don't even know why they even submitted this because it's just another round of ridiculous.
I think they submitted it because there's no way for them to get past the digital information. And so they realized that and they said, okay, well, now we have to figure out why he's there all the time. Out and about. Okay, this is what we're going to go with. He's a stargazer. You've seen that the cynics are saying he's a werewolf. I just thought that was funny.
It's a werewolf.
I'm sorry. I have a warped sense of humor.
Yeah.
There is the funniest parody going around that basically he's a werewolf. So, of course, he's called out in the middle of the night. He committed this crime. He went back home and he's like licking his paws going, what was I thinking? What happened? Anyway.
Soon they're going to be like, and there was wolf fur somehow in the house, but we didn't connect it to Koberger because we didn't realize he was a werewolf until now. Yeah.
I mean, you know, people, of course, on social media, but I mean, I think it's all in jest, but I wouldn't doubt that people actually will start buying into such, you know, nonsense. But the bottom line is they had to explain what they couldn't get past. And that was that Cast information from the FBI as to where that phone was and what he was doing. And this is the best they could come up with.
I'm guessing Ann Taylor is really feeling backed into a corner at this point, but she's still doing her job. I'll give her that, doing the best that she can with what she's been dealt. But my God, I don't envy her at all.
Tony, she comes out like a wildcat in court.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem to be fazed by anything. I mean, like I said, every time I watch her in court, I feel browbeaten and I'm not even the judge.
Exactly. Yeah. They got the right attorney for this. It's not going to really help him, but they got the right attorney for this. I'll definitely say that.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now